Raiden, though. The man was a machine when it came to killing or saving lives, either one. There was more swearing. Gino ignored and began his move. The bulk of the guards had surrounded Zhu as best they could as they went out of the club onto the street. Three were left behind to burn the club to the ground.
"Fuckers are doing our job for us," Drayden observed.
"One less job for us tonight," Gino said.
"Let's get this finished. You boys watch your six," he added to Reuben and Diego.
He waited until the guard finished pouring the alcohol along the bar and had lit a match. As he tossed it, the man turned, and Gino was standing in front of him, close. The knife bit deep into his throat. His eyes went wide with shock. He tried to speak, but only a gurgle could be heard. Gino withdrew the knife, staring into the man's eyes as he helped him down to the floor. He watched the life ebb right out of him, and then turned and walked slowly after the other two, who had both tossed matches into the hive where the victims trapped in the cells were unable to get out.
16 is down.
The guards tossing the match laughed and waved at a naked woman banging on the cell door before he turned to leave. Drayden dropped down on him and snapped his neck. The naked woman stopped screaming and stared at him. Tiny flames licked along the bar and ran up the sides of the walls, the light illuminating Drayden as he dropped the body to the floor. The third guard turned back, just as the ghost walker let go of the dead guard. Gino's knife took him through the throat as he lifted his weapon.
17 and 18, Gino said.
"Thanks, man," Drayden said, glancing over his shoulder.
The blaze was fast moving toward all the bottles lined up on the shelves behind the bar. Diego and Reuben were opening cells, pulling people out and sending them toward the back door. Those that couldn't walk, they carried on their shoulders, running to beat the flames. The fire was picking up speed, accelerating with so much fuel in the silks hanging on the walls and draped over tables. Elegant sheets were on some of the beds, because no matter how much agony their victim was in, the patron had to have all the comforts imaginable. The sound of the fire was loud now, crackling and popping. Neither man even glanced toward it, rushing the women and children out first and then the injured men. Gino lost sight of them as he paused just inside the door to the club, scanning the street. Zhu had to have left a guard behind, just in case. By now, he had to know the cars up and down the streets were useless. He would go into the narrow alley and make for the warehouse district, located right behind the red light district. Gino threw a vase that was sitting on a small table in the foyer through the plate glass window. Outside, near the street, a guard leapt into view, his finger on the trigger of his semi-automatic. Gino threw his second favorite throwing knife. A knife could fall over that distance, but what he loved about this particular blade was that it just kept going. It buried itself deep.
19. All clear. To your left. Heading into the alley, Trapp said.
Wish we'd brought my woman along. She'd have nooses all along their way out.
It wasn't a way out. The ghost walkers were herding Zhu and his men exactly where they wanted them to go. Zhu hadn't caught on yet, nor would he. Gino was certain he was too arrogant to ever conceive that a force would be able to outthink him in his own territory. He hadn't counted on the women's ability with computers to ferret out his every secret. He hadn't counted on the fact that Gino was a meticulous planner and had no problem biding his time in order to exact revenge. He had patience, and he'd learned that from Ciro Spagnola.
"Mordecai and Trapp, get down there and help Reuben and Diego get those victims out. The fire is spreading fast. People are coming out of the other clubs, and very soon we're going to have company. I want us gone before anyone else gets here," Ezekiel ordered.
"On it,"
Mordecai answered for both of them. Gino ignored the byplay. He ran with Drayden, feeling for his surroundings. In the 17-plus hours on the plane, he'd run it 100 times in his mind, finding his way with his footfalls, making certain he could do it fast and yet remain silent. Ezekiel had taken them through every detail of their mission, over and over, until every move was automatic. With the detailed information the women had gotten for them, they had put together a good plan of attack. Drayden kept pace, running practically in his footsteps, yet he couldn't even hear his breathing. Roden scurried out of the way, but other than that, as they ran down the alley and across the next street toward the warehouses, there was no one to see or hear. Zhu was left with six men. He'd lost them one by one, and no one had seen what chased them. Ghost walkers came out of the night and took their prey. That had to spook Zhu's elite force just a little. If he was Zhu, he would send one up high to be the eyes for him. Gino had even chosen the spot. There was a long bank of warehouses, rows of them, but the first bank had the ability, on the connecting roof, to hide a man with a weapon. He could wait up there and see if anyone followed them. The entire bank of warehouses was protected by a very high chain-link fence. The first and second row of warehouses belonged to Cheng. The third row was exclusively Boulanger's. Intel was, he housed his own armory there, as well as armored vehicles kept in the best of shape. He was definitely headed there. At the street facing the first long bank of warehouses, where Gino was certain a guard lay up on the roof, Drayden and he split. One went to the left, the other to the right, until they were each at a corner. There were no lights back there. Cheng and Zhu didn't want anyone seeing what they were doing. Under cover of darkness, both sprinted across the street, again in absolute silence. They had to chance that the guard was watching the alleyway. It would stand to reason that if anyone was following, they would come from there. Drayden went up one side of the building, Gino the other. It was Drayden's job to take out the guard on the roof. Ezekiel and Malachi lay up on the roof across the street, eyes to scopes, waiting, just in case. They wanted this operation done in complete silence if possible. Any evidence left behind was evidence damning Zhu and his men. Nothing remained of the ghost walkers. Every knife had been retrieved, and no fingerprints were left behind. They couldn't risk an international incident. Major General would never have sanctioned this operation, and he wouldn't be able to get them out of it if they fucked up. Gino was up and over the chain-link fence in seconds. He heard the running beat of several shoes. His enhanced speed enabled him to fall in line behind the last guard. 20, Drayden said. Coming after you, Gino. Gino took the guard as he ran, matching steps, getting close and driving a knife deep into the base of the skull. He had to swerve around the body, but before it actually toppled to the ground, he was on the next one. The others had rounded a corner, leaving the guard alone for a few steps. It was enough time for Gino to kill him. 21 and 22. He paused at the corner. It would be suicide to blindly run around it, but he needed to get inside Zhu's warehouse with him and the rest of his elite guard. Without the one on the roof, Ezekiel and Malachi made their way to the same rooftop, setting up to take their backs and give them eyes from above. Gino went up, scaling the side of the wall to the second bank of warehouses. Running across the rooftop in a low crouch, he saw Zhu with the remaining three men surrounding him as he unlocked the door to his warehouse. All looked back, waiting for the other guards. One swore when no one came. "Who is doing this, Bolan? I haven't even seen the enemy, and he's taken out just about all of us." Zhu shrugged and swung open the double doors. "I suspect I saw him once at the American Embassy." He said no more. He didn't run. He walked inside. "It's only one man? It can't be one man," the same guard protested. Gino was already in the shadows just to the side of the door. Drayden had joined him. The two slipped inside just before the doors were pulled closed. Instantly the warehouse went dark. Gino and Drayden both could see easily in the dark. Their DNA, enhanced by Whitney, gave them that advantage. Zhu leveled a cold gaze on his bodyguard. "Does it matter if it is one man or several? We have to leave this place. We'll get them another time, Dai." He snapped on a single dim light bulb that hung from the center of the very large room.
That left a lot of darkness for a ghost walker to hide in. Dai shook his head.
We didn't even hear him. Or them. Did anyone see or hear anything? Feng!
He looked at one of the remaining men, who shook his head.
I never even saw a single one of our men go down, Dai.
Dai looked expectantly at the remaining ex-soldier.
Long Wei!
Long Wei shook his head.
Nothing. Bolan, seriously, we've never come up against anything like this. I don't like you exposed this way. Call your brother. Have him send reinforcements,
Dai said.
I can't protect you against something I can't see.
You would have me whine to my brother that we cannot protect ourselves against a single man, or those with him?
There are three of us left to protect you. Every one of us was trained in all special forces under you. You know what we're capable of. This man or men following us isn't human.
I suspect they aren't.
Not fully,
Zhu said. It would be a great thing to kill one and bring his body back to my brother, so we could have these same kinds of advantages. I will not go crying to my brother. He would forever look down on us. Right now, he fears us. He would think he could make a move against us.
That was news. Zhu and Cheng weren't completely in sync with each other. Zhu's bodyguards were in a tight cluster, but they would have to fan out at some point.
Clear, Diego reported in. We got everyone alive out. Some of them were in very bad condition. Found the owner of the club hiding in one of the cells. Chained him to a pole with enough evidence for the cops to prove that he was dealing in human trafficking and using them for sadists to torture and kill. Found a small group of women being held below the club. Name's Moffat, of all things. He's good friends with Cheng and Zhu. I know this because he told me multiple times.
He see your faces? Ezekiel asked sharply.
We weren't born yesterday, Zeke.
Just making sure you're in the clear.
Gino, report in.
Just standing around here sucking my thumb, boss man, Gino said.
He never took his eyes off his prey. Zhu stood there, his features as impassive as ever. Looking at him, no one would ever think he could have done the sadistic things he had to the three victims. Gino couldn't help but notice that the woman he kissed and then cut so badly had red hair. She hadn't looked exactly like Zara, but she was probably a substitute for her. The other woman, the one he'd stabbed repeatedly and disfigured, had blue eyes and skin like Zara's. If Zhu didn't die tonight, he would make another try for Zara. Gino knew that with absolute certainty.
Bolan!
Dai was obviously the head of Zhu's security team.
It doesn't matter what your brother thinks. I can hire another crew. I can find the right ones, men who like the same things as us. We allow them to make life or death decisions for their sexual partners, and the power will be addicting. It won't take that long to build another force, and then we can go after this man.
Zhu shook his head. Dai persisted.
Cheng would learn to fear you very quickly again. We visited his bedroom more than once when we got out of hand, and we can easily do it again. Remember his face, when he woke up to find the dead women sprawled all over him? Sheets coated in blood? He will fear us again.
Better he has one moment of false triumph than something happening to you.
The car is armored.
Zhu had made up his mind.
Dai shook his head and shrugged.
Let's go, then, before all hell breaks loose. Our men are strewn all over that club and probably down the street as well. They're known by everyone. We have to move before we are found and questioned.
Don't be ridiculous. No one would dare to question me.
That was before the razor's edge burned down and everyone inside it was shot. That was before the club was exposed for the things going on inside. This might not be so easy to sweep under the carpet.
Dai was reluctant to leave what he thought was the safety of the warehouse.
Get more weapons,
Zhu ordered, and then ignored his head of security. He stalked over to the side of a large black SUV with tinted windows and special armor plating. The windows were bulletproof. He leaned against the door while Dai, Feng, and Long Wei hurried over to the large crates sitting to the back of the warehouse.
Need a crowbar,
Dime muttered, and pointed toward the far corner of the room. Long Wei immediately rushed to get it. None of them wanted to stay, but they didn't want to leave either. They didn't know where safety was. Gino dropped in behind Long Wei, a silent shadow, following him right into the corner where a long table held a variety of tools. Long Wei took out his cell phone and shone a light along the table. Gino handed him the crowbar with one hand. Long Wei took it, murmuring a polite, "Thank you." He stiffened, his head swiveling around, eyes going wide with shock. Gino was on him, one hand over his mouth, muffling any sound as he shoved the knife into the guard's throat. He stared down at the man, eyes to eyes, nose to nose. Gino breathing, Long Wei unable to breathe. Gino took him to the floor, removing the crowbar from his spasming fingers and pulling the blade from him. Very carefully, he wiped it on the guard's shirt. 23.
"Hurry up, Long Wei," Dai snapped. "We have to get these open."
Silence met his demand. The crowbar hit the floor with a loud metallic sound. The tip was in the light. Dai, Zhu, and Feng turned toward the sound. Zhu tried the door, frowned when it was locked, and then walked around the armored car to the other side, putting it between the clattering sound and his body. The crowbar was lifted from the floor, but Long Wei didn't step out of the shadows to hurry back to Dai. He just stood there, unseen.
In the dark.
The three remaining men couldn't see his body. They could barely make out that it was a man standing there.
"Stop playing around!" Dai demanded. "You always make jokes and play pranks at inappropriate times."
Gino had gone up the wall, moving sideways until he was so close to Feng he was afraid the man would lean back into him. Feng had taken refuge between the row of large crates and the wall, hoping by keeping his back to the wall no one could sneak up on him. He was sweating, and Gino could smell fear. Drayden stood where Long Wei had been, the crowbar held loosely in his hand, keeping the attention of Zhu and Dai. Gino moved down the wall like a spider until he was directly behind Feng. He reached out with both hands, one clamping tightly over the man's mouth while the other slit his throat. He held him upright, waited until the guard began to slump, and then slowly lowered him to the floor behind the crate. 24. Dai glanced over his shoulder toward Feng, but the area was empty. When he looked back at Long Wei, no one was there. Instantly, he moved toward the armored car, his eyes bouncing around the warehouse.
"Bolan, we have to get the hell out of here. Get into the car. The locks are jammed. I tried all of them," Zhu said. "We can't use the car." "We have three others,"
Dai pointed out, making his way warily toward his boss. "It stands to reason the locks are all jammed on them as well.
Send for more men. Make it clear to your brother that we need them now. I've done so, and told him I uncovered a conspiracy to kill him. In doing so, I set myself up as a target, and am now in danger. If he believes the threat is to him, he will want us to live to help protect him," Zhu said.
"At the word conspiracy, he'll kill an entire floor's worth of employees," Dai pointed out. Zhu nodded with a slow, cold smile. "I believe he will. He's descending into madness, just as our father did."
"Is Cheng sending help?"
He answered immediately that they're on the way. "Relax, Dai. We are fine right here if we stay together and under this light. Even if this man is in this warehouse with us, he will make a mistake."
"He hasn't so far."
Zhu looked around the cavernous room with a cold smile. "But he is close to his goal and eager to get to me. He stole something of mine, and he doesn't want me taking it back."
"The woman?"
Zhu nodded. "I searched years for her, the perfect one. She would grace every public event I went to, especially after my brother meets an untimely death. She dislikes pain to the point that it terrifies her. She's intelligent, and her brain will be very useful. More than anything, she's American, like my mother, and I will have her complete obedience." He looked around the warehouse and tried taunting the man who had come for him.
"I have so many plans for her,"
She'll crawl under tables and blow my guests if I demand it right in front of everyone.
He smiled as he looked around the warehouse again.
Think about that, Ghostwalker. Think what I'll do to her. Those women suffering at my hands were mere substitutes for her. That was mild torture, mild, compared to what I plan to do to that woman. She'll suffer for going with you. She'll be in agony for days, weeks, months. She'll beg my forgiveness.
Gino shut out that snide voice. Zhu wanted to shake him up, have him make a mistake. The mistake was Zhu's. He paced while he mocked and jeered at Gino. In pacing, hands behind his back, looking nonchalant, he had separated himself from his private bodyguard, the head of his security. Dai made the mistake of watching Zhu, of keeping his eyes glued to his boss while occasionally looking around the warehouse, but not behind him. The armored car was behind him, and he thought himself safe. Gino went right over the top of it, lay for a moment on the roof, and then slithered down the other side. Dai didn't want to take his eyes off Zhu, afraid of someone coming out of the night and killing him. Gino hooked him around the throat, cut off his airway by clamping a hand over his mouth and nose while he rolled with him under the car and out the other side. It took all of 1.5 seconds to get into the dark and break Dai's neck.
25. Drayden, you need to leave.
I'm on you.
Not for this. It isn't going to be clean or pretty. Get the hell out of here.
Gino wasn't going to shoot the bastard. He wasn't even going to cut his throat, at least not right away. He'd been good to the others, killing them fast, almost before they were aware. They didn't have time to suffer as they deserved.
Not going to happen.
Zhu became aware of the silence. He turned and realized Dai was no longer behind him. He crouched low and took a long look around the warehouse.
You're good. I'll give you that. Every one of these men were specially trained. The senator assured us the Ghostwalker program was worth whatever she asked for, and clearly she was right.
He stood slowly and walked to where Dai had last been, inspecting the area, looking for Dai's weapon. All the guns were gone. Zhu had been too arrogant to carry one himself. He had surrounded himself with men with weapons and didn't believe he needed one. Not in the club he frequented. He could go in looking every inch the gentleman. He liked dressing in his suits, the ones custom-made, the shoes the same. He liked buying men and women and knowing he had the power of life and death over them. That didn't mean he was without weapons, and clearly the Ghostwalker preferred silence to guns.
"You aren't going to have the stomach for this," Gino tried again. "It doesn't bother me to have you see what I do to him, but you're never going to look at me the same. Just get on with it."
Gino walked out of the shadows into the open to face Boulanger. Zhu smiled at him.
"You didn't like me sending a few stupid mercenaries after Zara, and you came all this way just to tell me. They weren't nearly as good as I was led to believe."
"I was always going to come for you," Gino said.
"Did you think I'd let you do that to her and get away with it?"
He glided closer, watching Zhu, getting a feel for his energy, how he moved, the slightest hint that the man would attack.
"Ah, yes, little Zara and the whip. It was beautiful to see those stripes across her breasts. It was all I could do not to take her right then, with her blood dripping everywhere and her little body shuddering in pain. Her tears were beautiful. You have to admit, you get off just looking at those tears. Didn't you fall just a little bit for her, looking at her bruised face and those gorgeous stripes? A woman is so beautiful with her face contorted in pain."
For one moment, another woman's face rose up, his mother, lying in her own blood, pain making her almost unrecognizable. Gino slammed the door hard on the memory. He couldn't allow Zhu to shake him in any way.
"It's delicious to have a woman at your mercy. Don't tell me, with all your strengths, you never even tried it? Not once? I am not certain I believe you."
Gino remained silent, watching him. Zhu kept his expressions blank, but he couldn't stop the movements of his body.
tiny, subtle. His fingers twitched. Society tells you not to give in to your nature, but you're like me. A woman belongs to you, and she should follow your every command, your every desire. That's your right as a man. Gino smiled at him. Everything about Zara is beautiful. She does belong to me, and yes, I want her to follow my every command, my every desire. I don't think it's my right as a man, but it is my right to protect her, to see to her care, her pleasure and happiness. That's what I'll be doing while you're long dead. He knew Zhu thought of himself as a fighter, but he didn't have a prayer. Gino was in that distant, cold place. It didn't matter what Zhu said. He couldn't make him lose his temper or make a mistake. He could taunt him all he wanted, but Gino wouldn't break. He learned in a hard school. He remembered that moment when Joe pulled him out from under his dead grandparents and his father. His dead mother stared at him, her face contorted with pain. The flames of the fire the murderers had started to cover up their crime drawing closer. Gino had tried over the years to forget how much he loved her, the way she'd looked at him, that soft glow on her face whenever he came into a room, whenever his father had. She'd loved them both, and in spite of how he tried to stomp it out of himself, the moment he'd laid eyes on Zara, he knew he was capable of that deep, abiding love. Ciro had known what Gino was trying to do, and had taught him how to compartmentalize. There was no room for rage, he'd always said. There was no room for personal emotions. You did a job, and you did it thoroughly, so no one ever fucked with you or your family. Not ever. Family was sacred, and any threat to them had to be eliminated. Bolanju was a threat to Zara, and he always would be. More, he was a threat to every decent man, woman, and child he came across. Every one of my men experienced what it was like to have a woman or a man at their mercy, what it was like to have sex any way they demanded, to be treated like a king. You have so much, and yet you refuse to give in to your true nature. I see it in you. I see what you would like to be.
Gino knew better now.
He had thought himself like this monster, because he could take apart a human being. But he wasn't like this man. Not even halfway. He could never do the sadistic things Zhu enjoyed. He had never looked at the marks on Zara and thought her pain was sexually stimulating. He wanted to take care of her. He wanted to provide for her and see to her every need. He wanted to give her the things in life that would make her happy, and if that meant her freedom to work outside their home, although it would be difficult, he would do it for her. He was many ugly things, but he was not a Bolanju.
You think you have what it takes to best me?
Zhu asked softly.
I cut my own father to pieces.
Cheng was the golden boy, his favorite, the one he was so proud of. He wouldn't even claim me. My mother allowed him to treat me that way. She didn't deserve to live, either. I whispered that to her all the time, that someday I would end her life. He laughed. Do you have those kinds of balls?
Maybe I'll find out.
I like to fuck with men who think they're macho. It's all the sweeter when I cut off their cock and balls. You were in there today. You didn't get to see the grand finale because Dai insisted I leave before I was finished. As he talked, he edged closer, within striking distance. There was no way for Zhu to know how fast a ghost walker could be. He exploded into action, flying at Gino with his front foot. Gino knocked it sideways and slammed his fist into Zhu's throat, hard. He had always been strong, and the enhancements added even more strength. Zhu fell to the floor, choking. Gino methodically beat him. He used the hardened edge of his hand, his fists. He stomped him, kicked him, making certain there wasn't a place on his body that hadn't been touched, that wasn't hurt and painful. Zhu tried to roll over, and Gino knelt down and stripped him, cutting off his clothes to leave his body naked and vulnerable like so many of his victims. Zhu began to laugh insanely, spitting blood, trying to look defiant, but there was no way to hide terror.
There was a smell to it. There was a look in the eyes. Zhu did his best to act unafraid, but he winced when Gino came at him again. Gino walked away, and Zhu tried to stand, crawling to the car and trying to pull himself up by the door handle. Gino returned with several of the tools that had been laid out on the table, tools Zhu hadn't put there but recognized as his own.
"Last chance, Drayton. Get out of here.
Get on with it. That fucker deserves whatever you're going to give him. I saw what he did to those women and that man. I saw what he did to Zara. Just do it, and let's get the hell out of this place." An hour later, the screams died down. The babbling started, and there was nothing left of arrogant Bolanjou. There was only a shell of a man. Gino was tempted to let him live, to have to be cared for by nurses, but he didn't want to take the chance that a man that evil might have even a small part of his brain left to harm anyone. He cut his throat and left him on the floor.
"Let's get the hell out of here, Gino, and go home," Drayden said.
They left the warehouse, locked it, and moved into the shadows where their team waited. There were police and ambulances, as well as the fire department the street over, so they went up to the rooftops, making good time out of the area.
"Cheng's men never came," Gino said, as he pulled open the door to their vehicle.
"I noticed that," Drayden answered.
"We watched for them," Ezekiel said. "We were prepared for a shootout, but he never so much as sent a man to see what was going on."
"I guess there wasn't much love lost between them," Gino said. He closed his eyes. All he wanted was 1,000 hot showers to wash the stink of Zhu's blood off of him and remove the images from the razor's edge from his mind for the rest of his life. And then he'd go home to his woman.
Chapter 21 Gino woke abruptly, his heart racing, sweat dotting his forehead and trickling down his face. He pushed himself into a sitting position, one hand pressing on his chest to try to gain control of his wild breathing. He didn't have nightmares anymore.
All those years ago, he had woken nightly seeing his mother's face,
watching his father's body drop to the floor, his grandmother and grandfather lying in a pool of blood. Ciro had awakened him one night and urged him to get up and come with him. He remembered he was still in his pajamas. Ciro had told him to put his shoes on, and they left the house without Joe, just the two of them and the bodyguards. Gino had been taken to a restaurant they frequented a lot. They'd gone to the back and down a flight of stairs to an underground labyrinth he hadn't even known existed. The men who had killed his entire family were there, tied to chairs, their eyes bouncing around. Gino had never felt so satisfied in his life when he saw them looking afraid. Ciro had stood with him, one hand on his shoulder, as he directed his men to make them pay for the death of his best friend and Gino's father. All Gino could think of was his mother's face as she lay dying with her beloved husband already dead beside her, and flames licking all around her. He didn't think about what was being done to the men. In his mind, they deserved everything they got and more. He couldn't see them as human. He had already disassociated.
"Gino,"
Zara's voice was soft, her hand whispering over his forehead as she pushed at the damp hair spilling around his face.
"What is it, honey?"
Her voice, her touch. He never thought he'd have that. He caught her in his arms and dragged her onto his lap, holding her too tightly because he needed to know she was with him. She wouldn't leave him, that she could love him as fucked up as he was, because the things he'd done in his life for Ciro, indulging himself with Zhu, that was fucked up.
"Tell me, Gino."
If he had insisted she'd tell him something, it would have been a demand, an order, and he would expect her to obey him. He would insist on it. Zara wasn't like him. Her voice was an invitation to share with her. If he didn't, she wouldn't be upset with him. She would simply cuddle into him and hold him, taking her cue from his body language. "I don't deserve you." That was the strict truth. But he was keeping her. He needed her.
He had been so close to losing his way.
Somehow she pulled him back from the edge.
Probably not. There was a touch of humor.
But you're not getting rid of me, so tell me what's wrong.
He considered her reaction if he told her the truth. He found he needed to. He didn't know why. He wanted to hide the things he'd done from her, from himself.
I did something I know you wouldn't like or agree with.
It was the first time he'd ever had a nightmare that had to do with the justice he exacted, and it had. He'd played the scene out with Zhu 100 times, and none of them had been pretty.
Was it really bad?
Zara brushed at the strands of dark hair falling onto his forehead. Her fingers felt cool on his skin, light, the way she was light.
I did to Bolan Zhu what he did to you, and then some.
There was silence. He could hear her breathing softly in the darkness. He held his breath, waiting for condemnation, for judgment.
You didn't just kill him outright?
It was a soft inquiry, strictly neutral.
I thought I would, at first.
Before we got there, and I saw him with 2 other women and a man in this disgusting club. People paid to buy human beings so they could get off torturing them. Others watched and got off. He pressed his fingers to his eyes. I can't get the images out of my head. The things Zhu did to those people. The way others gathered around to watch those suffering. Cheering Zhu on like he was some star performing for them. He looked down at her, waiting for her eyes to meet his. When that slate-blue gaze finally lifted, he felt the impact and it rocked him. There wasn't apprehension or judgment, only concern for him. For him. Zara only thought of him. It didn't seem right to me to just kill him without his knowing how what he did to others felt. She leaned into him, giving him her body. Her breasts pressed tight against his chest. So soft. Her face nuzzled his. Her lips sliding along his cheek to his jaw.
Like an eye for an eye, she guessed, her tone gentle, accepting.
He had woken in a rocky place, heart pounding, the flames of hell burning through his mind. Why did Bolanjou's death bother him so much? Not his death, but the things Gino had done to him before he killed him.
Like that. There should be justice in the world, Zara. Shouldn't there? A man does that kind of thing, sadistic torture. Shouldn't he at least experience the same before he dies?
She pulled her head back to look him in the eye.
If you have to ask that question, honey, you already know the answer to it.
They should, he argued.
I'm not you. I don't have to do the things you have to do. I don't have to see the things that haunt you, that keep you up at night, that put that look on your face when you woke up. So I will never judge you. Never, Gino. I love you absolutely, terribly. With everything that I am. I can only tell you that maybe we aren't the ones that have to tip those scales equally. Maybe someone else does that. Or not. Maybe he just had to die to keep him from hurting others. Because in the end, who did you hurt more?
Bolanjou is dead. He can't feel anything. He isn't suffering. You are.
He was silent, turning her counsel over and over in his head.
He brought her fingertips to his mouth and bit them gently and then sucked the sting away. Her other hand slid over his chest and traced the muscles of his abdomen. He couldn't be this close to her without wanting her, without needing her body.
I wanted to hurt him.
I know, Gino.
Her fingers danced down his belly, stroked back up to the heavy muscles of his chest.
I would think that would be a natural reaction. It isn't wrong to feel the need or want to hurt someone who hurts us. That's human.
She tipped her face up and kissed his jaw. Her lips traveled to his throat.
I don't have bad dreams. I don't know why this haunts me. If anyone deserved to suffer, it was Bolanjou.
But he did know why his actions haunted him, and she was sitting in his lap, sliding to one side, so she was on the bed again. Her hands moving over his body with gentle persistence, with possessive insistence. His woman was the reason his actions bothered him enough to wake him from sleep.
"Ciro made me feel safe," he admitted. "I admired him. He was a man no one ever fucked with. No one would ever try to kill his entire family, because they knew what would happen to them."
She kissed his chest. Her tongue flicked his nipple, and the heat rushed through his body, taking him over. He felt the lick of flames in his belly and growing in his groin. He put his head back, savoring the way she made him feel.
"You admired and respected Ciro, Gino. That's natural, too. Of course anything he said or did would be gospel to you.
He's a good man." Gino heard the defensive note in his voice.
Was he? Was Ciro a good man? There were many sides to Ciro. To his wife and family he was good. To the many charities he gave too generously, he was good. He sighed, letting his breath out.
"I don't know, Princess. I really don't. I don't know if I'm a good man, so how the hell can I judge Ciro?"
"You don't, Gino."
She was practical. "You can only decide who you want to be, what kind of man you want to be, what example you set for our children. We all have choices. If you don't like something about yourself, you work on changing it. It might take a lifetime, but that's a gift you can share with your children, with me. That kind of lifetime commitment to change something in yourself you don't particularly like."
She kissed his nipple, curled her tongue around it, and began a journey down his belly.
His breath caught in his throat when her arm wrapped around his hips and her mouth found his cock. She blew air over him, and then he was inside that warm, moist haven. There was nothing to sort out when he had his woman and she was giving him the ride of his life. When she hollowed her cheeks and sucked hard, she took away every bad memory, every bad image, until there was only that mouth and the fire she surrounded his cock with. He knew he would always strive to be a better man because of her, to deserve her.
"Stop squirming," Belicia said. "Good grief, Zara, calm down."
"I can't calm down. I'm really doing this. Were you scared when you got married to Zeke? I'm petrified."
Belicia stepped back and glared at her. "Don't you dare chicken out. After all the talks I gave you advising to take your time, and you wouldn't listen. Now Nani's got her preacher man friend back, and I'm taking you out there even if I have to get the proverbial shotgun and hold it on you through the entire ceremony."
"I want to marry Gino," Zara admitted. "I'm crazy in love with him. I can't stand it when he isn't close to me, but I don't know the first thing about relationships, being a wife, making him a home and making him happy."
The last came out in a wail.
"Sex,"
Cayenne said. "Lots of sex. All the time. Anywhere.
Be inventive. It's so much fun. Wear all kinds of very provocative clothing, and that leads to even more sex. Keeps me happy, too, so it's a win-win situation."
Pepper nodded. "I have to admit, she's right. Lots of sex. Wyatt definitely keeps me happy in that department, and he's all for it, anywhere, anytime, so win-win for me, too."
Belicia sighed and pushed at her blonde hair, which was up in a swirling chignon so she looked very sophisticated.
"Yeah. Go for the sex, Zara. It can get you out of a lot of trouble."
"Or in it,"
Cayenne said complacently. The women laughed, and Zara had to join them. Cayenne and Trap had no problem with public displays of affection. Sometimes he barely managed to get her into the tree line before she was peeling off her shirt and trying to get his off at the same time.
"You might cook for him," Nani advised with a smile. "You want to keep your man's strength up. Feed him so you can have plenty of sex."
Her smile faded and she looked very serious. Zara leaned toward her, eyes on Wyatt's grandmother. The other girls sobered as well and stopped everything to listen.
"Make a home for him. You be that home for him, so the moment he sees you, he not only feels he's home, he knows it."
"How?" Zara asked. "You don't worry about what you're getting from him. Worry about what he's getting from you. If you marry the right man, he's doing the same for you.
Don't think he's going to anticipate or know what you need. Communicate it to him. Talk to him. Let things go that are trivial. Laugh every chance you get with him. It's the little things that make or break a relationship. Put him first and hope he puts you first. That's the best advice I can give you. I was married for a lot of years to my man, and I loved every minute I had with him. For a moment, Nonny fell silent, and then she smiled at them. You girls make me feel young again, and you make me wish I had that time back with him. Cherish your man. Show him that, Zara, and you'll never go wrong. Zara was absolutely certain she wouldn't have a problem with that. She had grown over the last few months in confidence. She didn't listen to that voice that had always told her she wasn't good enough or that she was a coward. She knew she was different from Belicia and Shyla, but it didn't matter. She had things to offer as well. And she had Gino. Ezekiel poked his head in the door. You ready? You look beautiful, Zara. Thanks, Zeke. Cayenne and Pepper hurried out the door to get to their seats. Belicia was standing up for her. Zara was suddenly anxious to see Gino.
The music started, and Nonny leaned in and brushed a kiss on her cheek.
You'll do fine. Gino's a good man. It was said with authority. Zara knew that. She knew Gino was a good man. On cue, she started down the aisle. Just an opening between the two rows of chairs, but she didn't notice because she had eyes only for the man waiting for her. Gino. Standing there in a suit, waiting for her. He was perfect, her man. Perfect for her. Her eyes met his, and her stomach did a slow roll while her heart melted and a million butterflies took wing. She hadn't thought she'd ever have this. A family. A man of her own. A home. She felt like she had everything she could ever want, just looking at him. She walked up the aisle to him, completely confident. Completely happy, feeling beautiful, certain of her future. Gino took her hand and pressed it over his heart as both turned to face the preacher.
The End. This book was read for you by Jim Frangione, a member of SAG-AFTRA. We hope you've enjoyed this production of Covert Game by Christine Feehan. Recorded books are available wherever audiobooks are sold, including Audible.com, Audiobooks.com, Google Play, Apple iTunes, and in public libraries through RB Digital. Thank you for being a Recorded Books reader.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.